is Al Fink. We're live on the air. It's Monday night. Welcome, welcome. Okay, it's August 14th, 2017. Boy, the month is slipping away as usual. Almost the middle of August. Nice summer weather here at the Jersey Shore. It's been rather mild with a little bit of humidity and pretty comfortable temperatures. Nice stiff breezes off the ocean over here at the Jersey Shore. But we've carried on here with the music, live music stream. Live music scene. All right, so let me tell you what's going on here. We have a couple visitors coming in tonight. We're going to talk about open mics and open jams. We're expecting their calls shortly. I'll entertain you until they arrive. I'll give you some news of what's going on. So I've been looking at our BNC logs, and you know we're always looking to increase our listenership. And so I'm looking at the reports right now for just the month of August, and I'm looking at the number of countries that have people have listened to, and 66. So we've been listened to in the month of August from 66 different countries throughout the world. I'm talking about listening to the Al Fink's archives or his show. So we are, you know, we're getting the message out there. Listenership is way up. I want to thank you for listening. I hope you're enjoying what you're hearing. I hope you're enjoying the archives. We're getting them up there as fast as we can. There's a lot more to come. There's probably another 150, probably more, closer to 200 to be uploaded to Mixcloud so you guys can enjoy them. Follow us on Mixcloud and you'll get notifications when we upload new tracks. We're not new tracks, but new tracks, new shows, and shows that we've done between 2015 and now. So there's a lot more shows we haven't uploaded. So you're going to see a lot more best of stuff you haven't heard. Plus the stream continues to grow. So right now I think we have about 13 hours of shows in the stream. So basically you can listen to 13 hours of show without hearing the same show twice right now. But again, there's only 90 plus shows up there. So once we get a couple hundred shows up there, you'll be able to go days without hearing the same show on the stream. Plus, you can choose by the show over on Mixcloud. If you go to Mixcloud Al Fink and look up Al Fink, or you can just get there. You can just get there by going to our website, bnclive.com, and then going to the link that says view the artists or artists. We've changed it throughout the generations of web pages. The one that we're working on most recently now is a link that says listen to the show archives. That's right underneath the schedule. A lot of our pages are going through renovation right now, so you might get onto a page that might look a little wacky. Things might seem out of place. Other times it'll seem fine. But we're working on moving things around and getting you the best information possible. Sorry, let me tell you what's going on here. So tonight we're supposed to have a couple of different open mic artists giving us a call, telling us about their show. We're waiting for our guests to come on with us as well. On the 19th, we have a special show that's a Saturday evening at 9 p.m. I'm adjusting the schedule here. It says 8 p.m. I'm sorry, but it's really 9 p.m. We'll get that fixed. Live from Twangstock with Marbles Mahoney. If you remember a couple of month or so ago, we had an interview with Marbles, and he was telling us about all of his shows and interests that he's been doing and organizations he's been working with. So he has I think it's the 10th or 11th annual Twangstock coming up. Probably around 15 or 20 bands. It goes on for, I think, about 15 hours. So you'll enjoy this one. It's coming up at 9 o'clock on 8/19. That's a special day for us. And then next Monday, we have Bruce Barbini and Joseph Fram of Framework Acoustic Jazz Ensembles. We also have, on the 24th, we have another special show with Acoustic Martin Company, live from Chickie and Pete's. Hey, on the 28th, the Rock Goddess is going to be back with us. Remember the Rock Goddess? She did a bunch of shows with us. We have a lot of archives you can hear about, you know, hear the shows that the Rock Goddess was involved in on BNC Live. Plus, she has a new station that she's on, and then you'll find all about find out all about that. That's on the 28th. Then we have a couple of shows coming up that are going to hopefully turn into other shows. So you'll have a couple of different shows on the BNC Live network. So I'm hoping this show, and I think it will, Tony D's Music Room, might turn into a show where it might go from once a month possibly, or depending on how many times Tony would want to do it. But we'll see how it goes. If there's interest in the show, I believe there will be. Tony's going to be talking about what happened. Tony talks about what happened in music today. History, and a lot of nostalgia and trivia, and it's really cool. So if you go to on Facebook, Tony D's Music Room, you will see what I'm talking about. And then he's going to have the show in conjunction with those pages that he has. So that should be really cool and interesting. That's coming up on right after the Rock Goddess on 8/28. That's at 9 p.m. Tony D from the Music Room. Okay, and then on 9/4, we have Turquoise Rose. She's going to be coming by and visiting with us and telling us about her, the influences music had on her and her life dealing with music, musicians, music industry, and anything that has to do with music. She'll tell us about it. And she has a long bio and a long dossier on Reverb Nation. So you can visit Turquoise Rose on Reverb Nation. Find out all about her. She'll be on with us 9/4, 8 p.m. That show is going to also be an open call in Monday, we're going to call it. So we're going to promote that a little better than normal. And we're going to ask folks to call in that want to talk about live music that's happening on their main street. You know, you won't have a whole show, but you can get on for 5 or 10 minutes and talk about what's going on around your main street, live music scene, and also entertainment and destination information. So we'll throw that up there. So join us there at 9/4. You can call the whole show. So you can call anytime between 8 and 10 and tell us about your venues. Anybody wants to call in now, the number is 917-889-9970. 917-889-9970. Call in. You can talk to me on the show. We have a couple of guests coming in tonight. We're also probably going to get some call-ins from local open mic venues, from some hosts. But in the real short term, right now, I want to play something here for you. Let's see. I'm going to play a little piece of. I'm going to play a little bit of music here. This is from. This music here is from Monique Kinnear. This song is called "Preaching to the Choir." She asked me to play these songs for you. This is such a beautiful, beautiful. Put together of music, different instruments, and the writing of this and the timing. And this is a fabulous, fabulous piece called "Preaching to the Choir." When I heard this the first time, I was in my car. I had to pull over. So this, how beautiful this song is. So here you go, "Preaching to the Choir," Monique Kinnear. Yeah. Okay. Boy, what a lovely song, Monique Kinnaird, preaching to the choir. All right. So, Al Fink here back with you live. It's our Monday night live show. We're waiting for some guests to come on board with us, and the phone lines are open, so you're encouraged to call. You can talk about live music around your area if you'd like. You can talk about your band, talk about your club, whatever you like to talk about, as long as it has to pertain with music. Or music entertainment in your area. Live music would be really great. So if you have some info on live music for us, give us a shout. 917-889-9970. Or you can listen to Al Fink and Monday Night Show on bnclive.com. Right from your smartphone as well, bnclive.com. All right, we're here. So... while we're going to be working on a couple things here behind the scenes to liven up the show, and I'm going to play something for you, which I think that you would enjoy here. It is from an interview with, I believe it was with Lenny's Night Out. But listen to this one real quick. It's about 11 minutes. I think it's an excerpt of the full show. I know the show is a lot longer than that. So listen to this. I'll be back with you shortly. Sal Fink here at bnclive.com. If you want to call in, 917-889-9970, and you can be on the show live. All right, here you go. Lenny's Night Out. Excerpt.
Blog Talk Radio.
I want to hear live music.
Let's check bandsandclubs.com. It's free, mobile, and up to date.
Bandsandclubs.com?
My smartphone is bookmarked. Bandsandclubs.com.
Hey, this is Al Fink over here at Bands and Clubs Live, BNC Live Radio. Our local venue... for local music venues across the USA. We're here to support local music in the local communities. We have a complete system that supports this effort. Our 10,000 Twitter followers and 30 plus more.
All right, obviously that wasn't what I thought it was. That sucked. But anyway, here, tell you what, listen to Johnny D. Dentato, and I'll be right back to you. This one will be better than that last one you just heard. I'm going to get rid of that one, by the way. There you go. Johnny D. Dentato. We'll be back live shortly.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
How are you? Al Fink over at the station. How you doing, sir? I was anxious. I wanted to talk to you. I made a whole bunch of notes.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Oh, yeah. So we played the archive a little while ago. About 20 minutes ago, about your first interview, and I got to tell you, listening to it again, I was intrigued. And you, what you mentioned was that you were good friends with Nat Cole. So am I taking that as Nat King Cole?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about? Would you be so kind to tell us about how your involvement with Nat King Cole and you, the work that you've done with him? Would you share that with us?
I can do that, yeah. With Nat, I knew him. I was working for MGM at the time, and I was what they call a song plugger, which we don't have anymore. Whenever Nat was in town and I had a song from the motion picture or something that we, or the catalog I would like to get a record on, we I'd call him up, and we'd meet over at the restaurant on 49th Street and Broadway, which was called the Turf Restaurant. And that the Turf Restaurant was real great. It had open windows, and you could have cheesecake on the counter. It was a wonderful place, and we would meet there. He had his own corner where he had all of his hit music sheets pasted on the wall, and it was his own private little room, you know, where it was in the restaurant. It was not a room, but it was his spot. And we would meet there, and of course, like I'm working as a song plugger, I'm trying to get him to record some songs, which he actually did many songs. I can't tell you the titles anymore because my brain is not there, but he actually recorded many of the songs that came out in the movies, where the MGM movies. But he was a very, very nice human being. You know, he's a very gentle kind of guy. He said one time, he told me, he said, like, you know, when I come into town, it's almost impossible to just be myself and walk down the street without being mobbed and being called, hey, Nat, you know. So when I do get into town, I think in this way, I think that I'm out in the country. The people that are yelling are really birds. They're, I kind of hide myself from all of the commotion and the noise and the demanding of a lot of people. I do things that people love, but you know, like I like to be a little private on my own sometimes, you know. It's not a simple thing, but it works for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, like he was pretty darn nice, and we had I guess maybe about 5 years of continuous meetings and having these here lunches, and he would confide in me a lot of things on his family and things like that, but that is not for me to divulge. Let's put it that way. That's not for me to say, you know.
We're interested in your relationship as far as what you did in show business, and you know, we don't want private matters. We won't ask you to divulge private matters.
No. That's stuff that we spoke about. That's private, you know.
We don't do a gossip column here. We do show business, history, music history. These great accounts of folks, just working together and to entertain folks. And you know, when I talked to you 2 weeks ago, and we only spoke 9 minutes, and you were off to a gig, and it was kind of you to call even though you had a lot to do. I made a lot of notes. Plus, not only that, we have the archive. So, and I played that for the fans. And so, and then I also played it for me because I wanted to refresh my memory. So that was one of the tidbits that I plucked out of it. The other tidbit I plucked out of it is you talked about MGM, and I would imagine that's probably Metro Goldwyn Mayer.
That's right.
And you said, so you worked there, you said, I think 15 years. I think you said 15. And you worked in there in different capacities. One was a song, this capacity where you grabbed songs and you got people to perform songs. And what else did you do there?
Well, I met with a lot of the big stars at that time, you know. I had lunches with Joni James and Connie Francis. Actually, with Connie, I'm on one of her songs in her second Italian album. The song is Toward the End of a Day. And I wrote it with, oh God, Ray Ellis, who was president of MGM Records, and Al Stillman, who was the head writer of for the Radio City Music Hall. And Al also wrote Chances Are and It's Not For Me To Say and many, many other hits, you know. But
and Cole sang, right? Did Nat sing that one?
Excuse me?
I think Nat King Cole sang that, Chances Are, yes? Or am I wrong about
right,
that?
Right, right, yeah, yeah. And I was on that album, on the second Italian album, with the guy who wrote those lyrics, Al Stillman, and Ray Ellis, who was the president of MGM Records at that time. And Connie, I was in the studio, her teacher was Carlo Menotti, who was a good friend of mine. And when he was in the studio with her, he would make sure of all of the Italian words were pronounced right and everything else, you know, that went with it. And she was kind of an exciting lady, you know. But Carlo was a wonderful teacher. He was a teacher of Tony Bennett and Connie Francis and many, many of the people, Jerry Vail, you know, and he and I were really, really good friends.
Wow.
But
wow.
What else can I tell you? What else would you like?
What do you think about the rebirth of the popularity of Tony Bennett amongst young folks? What do you think about that? I think that's quite amazing. I mean, he's very popular amongst young folks today.
Yeah, Tony, he's just in the right position because he's a guy that is left from the great era, you know, great era of singers, Perry Como, Frank Sinatra, Jerry Vail, all those great singers. He is the last of the most wonderful part of the music crooning business, you know, the great music that we had at that time, the wonderful melodic lines, the wonderful love lyrics, he's part of the non-protesting situation, you know, like a guy who is still in the romantic, crooning, singing part of the world, you know. It's just there isn't anybody else around. And like now, he's revising and with Lady Gaga, man, he's got a great act going, you know.
That's kind of what I'm talking about. He's doing the young folks are just swarming to him. And it's great. Fabulous. It's just fabulous. He's reinvented himself.
Right. Actually, it only proves that the good stuff would be around if the radio stations and the producers would do it, you know. There's very, very little good music around anymore, you know, that's being produced newly. Even on Broadway, you don't have the melodic lines that you had before. You don't have the beautiful lyrics. What you have is dialogue and more recitative, like they have at the operas and things like that. You don't get that beauty, that melodic feeling that we used to have, you know, when Sinatra or Cuomo or any one of those guys would sing, they had some kind of feeling because of the beautiful melodic lines and the great, great lyrics that were put to those songs, you know. And Tony is the descendant of those, of all that stuff. He's the last of the Mohicans, I guess. There isn't anybody around that can match him at this point, you know. I mean, there are young singers around, but they don't have that quality, and they don't have the charisma that Coney has, you know.
You're absolutely right. You know, one of my favorites, and I remember as a young boy watching Dean Martin and Tony Bennett and you know, Frank Sinatra, and Connie Francis was a big favorite of my mother's. And watching these folks on television, on Ed Sullivan and on some other shows, on Lawrence Welk, and you know, as a boy, you don't appreciate that. But now, you know, now you see the videos, you know, you see the Dean Martin has a whole series of videos, and I look at these things, and I remember watching them as a little boy, and how fascinating and how fantastic the performances were, not only the music, but the way that everything else fit right in. And then it went from music to spoken entertainment, to comedy, back to music, back to, it was just fabulous. It was just, and you're right, we don't have that anymore. We don't have that. We have a lot of good acts, but we don't have that, okay? We don't have that. And, you know, having you on telling us of these accounts is just fabulous. And what I'm going to tell you here is this: you're recording history, and you'll have a copy of this, so you'll be able to, and then we'll all be able to hear this over and over and over again. So you're doing us, you know, a real service here by sharing these accounts, and you know, I'm more than willing to have you on for as long as you need, you know, as many times as you want to come back. You know, because this is just great. This is just great stuff, and this has to be. These stories have to be told over again, and by some.
Go ahead.
I want to thank you. Now MGM. I guess they had a bunch of different units. The one unit was in California. I guess was their movie unit, right? And then their record unit was based in Manhattan. Is that correct?
Yeah, we were in Manhattan. I was in Hollywood. I was in Manhattan. I used to go back and forth. Whatever, like we had a singer in New York that should have been on one of the movie tracks or something. I would come to New York. I'd go into the studio with the music tracks and record the guy or the lady that they wanted on the opening tracks of the movies, and I would do the recordings here in New York and take them back to New York, back to California, and we'd synchronize them with the opening of a movie, you know, dependent on what movie it was and what artist they wanted that couldn't come out to California. They were performing in New York, but you know, like we would record them here, and I would take the stuff back to California and sync it into the regular movie that we had. You know,
so you'd be taking back big reels of film, and you'd be taking back reels of audio tape. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And we would overdub it onto the tracks.
I got you. So it must be, I'm 58 years old, and I would think you'd have to be a little bit older than myself. And I've seen a tremendous amount of change in my life. Okay, I remember watching television as a boy. There was three channels. Now there's a gazillion channels, and you know, then you have the internet, and then you got YouTube. I bet you've seen a lot of changes in that industry that you worked in, the entertainment industry, just the way that they get all of this information around. You know, they don't use film anymore or acetate.
Well, it's all digital now. You know, most everything is digital.
Tell us about that, and what you think about that progression. So, you know, as a person that was involved in that kind of, you know, this kind of production in that era, what do you think about all of this?
Well, you know, like it's wonderful the progression that we had. You know, you went from film, you went from disc first, then to film, then to the digital, you know. But it's grown. The thing is that that's great. But what the production is they don't have the quality of lighting anymore. They don't have the quality of dramatics anymore. It's all action now. You very rarely see a great lighting system where there are shadows. Like when you used to have Peter Lorre or something like that, he had a character face. It was unbelievably beautiful when it was lit up right, you know. And not only he, but Sidney Greenstreet and you know, like all the great character actors and stuff had lighting that was beautiful. Now everything seems to be flat. They don't have that kind of side lighting or anything like that. It's just a flat-on kind of a look in the movies now, you know. That's what I'm seeing, you know. It's just, hey, let's make a big action thing, blow up everything, and we've got a movie, you know. That's basically what's happening, and all of the television and stuff like that. It's just, if somebody's not getting murdered, you don't have a show, you know.
I think you're right.
Yeah, well, you know, it used to be beautiful, you know, like Perry Como would come on with all those women and sing, man, and they were all great, beautiful ladies and everything. And the show was beautiful. It was a simple kind of thing. Even Perry Como, he just had a great character. It was very simple, but it was beautiful, you know. It had wonderful things. Now, I watched the Super Bowl a little bit, you know. What kind of junk is that? You know, everybody's a character. Everybody's got some kind of a gimmick. They don't have the voices. They don't have the things that should be there, you know, when you're singing a song. You've got emotion and you've got feelings and you've got character, you know. Now you get a lot of noise, and that's not, to me, it's not a beautiful world like it used to be, you know. Now it's make a quick killing and everything is fine, you know.
I think they're lip syncing as well. They're singing a lot of them. I think they're just mouthing the words. Hey, you know, I have a caller on the line. Let's see if this. Oh, he hung up. Well, you know what? I want to know now about you. You kind of give me the impression that you're not allowing any grass to grow under your feet.
Same.
You're probably.
Where's the starting point of that? So where do you meet? You meet at the same place every Sunday? Are you moving around?
We meet on Central Avenue at the bagel place, the Gourmet Bagel Deli on Central Avenue in Bethpage. There's my free plug for them for the night.
We're not ready to let you go.
We go there between 9 and 10.
We're not ready to let you go.
And we meet there year round.
Well, I'm going to have to go in about 5 minutes
or whatever. Because for some reason, these people enjoy my company. I don't know why.
You can always call me. I can always call you back. You can always call me, you know. I've got many, many stories that I can tell you. Let me tell you. I had songs that I wrote that were recorded by Frankie Lane, Joni James, Connie Francis, Dean Martin, Monty, and a slew of others that you wouldn't know their names even.
Which is called Frames,
you know? And that was a fun kind of thing where you could walk into a publisher and hand them a piece of music, and he would... as a song plugger or something like that, you'd run out and he would find someone to record it for you. Now, in New York, you can't even find a publisher. You have to go to a lawyer who will set up his client, hopefully, and maybe take a look at your song, you know. And then going from the lawyer to his client to their producer to their director, you know, it's not like it used to be.
Since you were the lyricist and you wrote these songs, so are you the rightful copyright owner of these songs? The percentage that some of the
lyricist No.
Do you give that up to
New York Studio? Oh yeah. Well, you know, you go to a publisher and they had the connections with the artists, you know. And they could work with them. They would plug your song for you, they would get the artist, and the artist would record them. But it's like Frankie Lane. When I went to Frankie Lane, you know, I'm
not a traditional surf band. We're a strange but surf band. We do vocals,
right.
And
South
that
Bank,
kind of raises a few eyebrows
a
in the surf community.
Still waiting on
but
our
guests. I mean, we like to push
while.
The genre a little bit,
a little
and you know, and a lot of you know, the people want to hear you sing. The people, you know, you can't just play all those great guitar songs all night. And you know, the first
Nikki
thing
Buzz,
people think when you say
and,
surf band
is in Amsterdam. Is all right now? Okay. And he's got a band that represents the Polish. Am I right? What's the name of the blues society that you guys are representing?
The Polish Blues Association.
Okay, Polish Blues Association. And I'm going to pitch you over to him. Let you talk to him. Here he is. This is Alfie.
Hey there, Al. How are you?
Hi, Nikki. Thanks for being on with us. So, boy, you've come a long way to play at the IBC.
Yes, we did. We came in from Warsaw. Then we were held over in Amsterdam because of the fog. So I was actually a couple of miles from my house. And then we went to Detroit, and then we got held over because we were 3 hours late because of the other plane. And then from Detroit we got held over because we had to de-ice the plane. So we traveled for almost 4 days to get here. With layovers and hotels and no luggage and all. It was crazy.
Oh, my goodness. I hope you're at least having fun now.
First thing I did was hit Cracker Barrel. I'm good now.
I hate traveling just for that reason, what you explained. You know, the hidden problems that come up, the snow, the ice, the freezing rain, the lost luggage, you name it. If you name it, it sounds like you guys have been through it in the last 4 days.
Yes, we have. But you know something? We just rolled with the punches and had a ball.
Okay, well, that's a great thing, you know. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I guess when you're used to traveling, you know, you get familiar with what could possibly happen, and then you know, you roll with the punches, like you said. So that's fabulous. So your home base is in Warsaw, Poland. Is that right?
No, my home base is in Amsterdam. The my Polish band's home base is actually in Poznan, I fly in and out of Amsterdam, and we won Best Blues Album last year. It's like a Polish Grammy. We won that, and so that prompted us to do a lot of touring in Poland, and the Polish people just love the blues, so we just had a wonderful time.
That's great. That's great. You know, we meet so many great folks because of music. You know, all I do all day is sit in my studio here and kind of brainstorm what we're gonna do that day and what we're gonna ask people, and by the end of the day we're basically doing like spanning the whole United States. We went from New York to Wisconsin, then to Memphis three or four times. All right, this is Al Fink. You're listening to an archive that was going on in the International Blues Challenge in 2015. There was a roving reporter on the street, Sarah, in Memphis at the International Blues Conference. So we're going to go live now. We have a special guest coming on. I'm going to bring him on right now. Hi, this is Al Fink. Who do we have with us?
Hey, Al, Rob DiLorenzo. Hey, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on?
How's things?
Good. We're having our show, Monday night show tonight. We had a cancellation, and we're playing archives right now until the next guest comes on. But I think you have some other stuff you could tell us and you can help us with it, and we can tell people about your goings on. So why don't you go ahead and tell us?
I do. You know, make everybody listening aware that Thunderstruck, we're a AC/DC tribute band. We'll be playing at Rivara's in Fairlawn, New Jersey, August 19th from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. What's unique about this event, though, is we're supporting the Bark No-Kill Rescue. So this is Bonnie's Animal Rescue Kingdom. They're a no-kill shelter for dogs and cats, and they help them, you know, find home through foster. We've partnered with the restaurant next to Rivara's, the Owl Pub. Rivara's is the restaurant. So they're offering 15% off dinner if you purchase tickets to the shows, $5 cover for the show, and you bring a donation to the Bark. It could be a monetary donation. They're collecting clean blankets, towels, dog toys, bleach, any of those types of items are much needed to help the rescue, with the animals. So I think it's going to be a really great night. They're a really great 501c charity. You can look them up in the New Jersey Charity Board. They're a legitimate charity, and all the proceeds and profits go directly to helping the animals. So there's no administrative overhead, taken out by like some of these other charities do.
This is an agency that goes out and rescues animals when they find out if they're being mistreated, or is this a place where people can drop off the animals and hope?
They'll take them in and help find foster. So if they work in conjunction with the SPCA, as well as they'll go to the shelters where they're on a kill list, and they'll if they're good healthy dogs, they'll take them in and they'll help them find foster homes till they can place them permanently. So it's a really great alternative to destroying an otherwise really good animal.
I think a lot of people are adopting these animals as pets because I'm around and about a lot during the day, and I do service, and I meet a lot of people that have dogs with them, or I go to their homes and they have dogs, and they all tell me, "I was a shelter dog. He was a rescue. He was." A story about how they got the dog from a place that rescued them. So this has lent to saving these animals, because I have to say probably 70% of the people I meet that have dogs say these were shelter animals. These were rescues. That's really great.
Yeah, it's like anything else. The animals need a good home and some love as well. They just recently incurred a $95,000 medical bill to take care of five puppies, three of which didn't make it, but two of the puppies survived, and they have an extensive medical bill now. I mean, the medical facilities write off quite a bit, and they get donations from the locations, but they're still hanging with a $95,000 bill. So we're going to help support this charity. We call it Rock the Rescue. We try to do as much work as we can to help these charities out, and cover our expenses as well. But, definitely driving, awareness and revenue into these charities is a thing that our band has, been known to do.
Tell us the date and time of this.
Sorry, So that again is Saturday, August 19th, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Rivara, 618 Maple Ave in Fairlawn, New Jersey. The phone number there is 201-797-4878. If you come between 6 and 9 o'clock for dinner, they'll give you 15% off dinner if you pay the $5 cover and bring, you know, either a clean blanket, towels, you know, laundry detergent, bleach, pet store gift cards, crates of any size, Nylabones, Kong toys, any of those types of items that'll help that charity out greatly and drive some awareness. And you'll get a really great meal. The food's fantastic at Rivara's.
That's great. That's super. Well, thanks for helping these animals out. I'm just like an animal lover, and every time I see a dog, I have to go over there and pet them. And I'm always, you know, seeing animals and cats and all kinds of things running across the road, and, you know, slowing down for them. And it's like, oh, wow, you really feel sorry for some of these animals, how they live without having to be able to go to the supermarket like we do. You know what I mean?
They are defenseless, you know. I mean, they really count on, you know, on the humans to ensure they have food and, you know, clean place to live and go to the bathroom, and more over anything else, not be abused. You know, there's way too much. It saddens me when I see some of the stuff, you know, whether it be on the media or social media, you know, some of these people that just abuse dogs. One dog was rescued. They had taped the dog, you know, around its mouth and its eyes and its ears and burned it and, you know, tossed it over the side into a ravine. And the animal lived. But, you know, like any human being, that thing's going to have, you know, scars the rest of its life, you know, internally as well as externally.
Sure.
And it's just sad, you know, so I think this is a really great, you know, opportunity for people to come out, hear a really great band. Our website is thunderstruckny.com, so you can see what we sound like. There is no better singer of AC/DC music than Mike Halpern. Guy is dead on for Bon Scott and Brian Johnson, that I promise you. And the band's really good and really tight. We do other covers as well, but focus mainly on the AC/DC stuff. So I'd love for everybody to come out that's listening, and you know, if you're available, I'd love to have you out as well.
Okay. I'm not sure if I'll be able to make an appearance there, but we'd hope you get a good turnout from other folks that might. But I tell you, I love animals and I love what you're doing, and we like talking about what's going on up there at Rivera's. You have a lot of stuff going on every weekend there, right?
Yeah, as we talked about, I think last week, every Tuesday, tomorrow night will be the acoustic open mic. I'll be there from 8:30 to 12:30. Sign up is 8 p.m. It's acoustic open mic, so bring your acoustic instruments. If you play keyboard, we've had keyboards set up. Bass players come, they plug direct into the PA. And, you know, three songs a person, and, you know, whether you're doing originals or covers or spoken word, you know, it's a really friendly environment, a really great place to try new material and, you know, get comfortable playing in front of other people in a very safe and secure environment. That's, you know, very encouraging. Thursday night, they have acoustic.
Yeah, the open mic is huge because last week we had a very, very large turnout to the show when we put out the did a lot of posting on Facebook, and a lot of people listened to that show that we had last week. You were on it, you know, talking about your open mic and stuff.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I've got a couple new songs planned for tomorrow night that we're going to give a try to and see how they come out. And so excited about that. And then Saturday night we'll be rocking the rescue.
Excellent. Okay. So come back with us. Keep us posted on what's going on. You know, we're here every Monday. I'd like to get a few people on for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes to talk about the scene, you know, where they're from. And you're welcome to do that with us, okay?
I would love to do that. Thank you, Al, so much. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Have a great evening.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So here we have a lot of participation from throughout the United States, from open mics and different venues throughout the area. That one happened to be from Northern Jersey. And we're going to move on to our scheduled guest here. I believe he's on the phone. I believe this is Steve. Let's liven up his mic and see if this is he. I believe it is. Steve,
hey,
is
Al.
That you? Hi, Steve.
Hey, it is. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Oh, you're quite welcome. So tell us a little bit. Where am I? I'm on your Twitter page, and I thought that was a kind of neat backdrop. It has a big banner. It says Bikes, Blues, and Barbecues, or BBQs. You're at, a motorcycle rally.
Yeah.
What was that recently?
That
recent, was quite a while
ago? In 2015. It was the Bike, Blues, and Barbecue in Fayetteville, Arkansas, biggest festival in the state.
Nice. Do you prefer doing outdoor concerts versus indoor auditorium or club?
Certainly, but I like the indoor stuff too. I mean, the indoor stuff you get close to your fans, and the outdoor stuff you just get to have a lot of people in one place.
Yeah. I guess that's either way is great, and the fact that you're inside and the stage is right there, and then the dance floor or the audience is right there, 2 feet away is kind of neat. I kind of like that setting as well. Well, you have a lot of followers. Tell us about your band, Steve. So talk about the band. Talk about what you play. Talk about your musical experiences.
Okay. Well, I started playing music when I was 11 years old. Got my first bass guitar, and my parents listened to a wide variety of music, from the Ink Spots to Hank Williams Jr. Hank Williams Sr. To Johnny Cash, and I grew up and I listened to Skinner and Marshall Tucker, B.B. King. Those were my kind of heroes, and I didn't even realize at the time that Skinner was really a blues band with just a southern twang, same way with the Allman Brothers. And as I got older in life, I realized that I really loved the blues, and became more of a blues / outlaw country artist. I play bass, guitar, bass and harmonica, and then the lead singer in my band. And I have several different musicians that travel with me when we travel. The core band is made up of 3-piece, just bass, guitar, and drums. But because the smaller gigs can't pay for a full-blown entourage.
Yeah, the smaller bands seem to have a little bit more of an advantage on the local club scene, because they could fit in the band. And plus, like you said, the fees that are charged for a smaller ensemble are a lot less, and the clubs can't afford that.
Right.
Full blown band. So when you have your full blown band, how many members do you have in it? And do you have like a horn section that joins you and stuff like that?
Sometimes we'll use a horn section. Little Rock is just full of great horn players, and Arkansas is a really good place for musicians. And I usually bring, if we're doing a big show like a festival or something, I bring Billy Earhart, who played with the Amazing Rhythm Aces, and Hank Williams and Al Green as a keyboard player. Super keyboard player, and it's usually him, myself, a guitarist, and drums, and then sometimes we'll bring a couple of horns and a couple of backup singers, so it can range from 5 to 8 people.
And when you have that full band, what are the most comfortable settings? I guess the band has a particular footprint that you need to fit into, and the more room, the better, I would imagine. So What kind of square footage on the stage is real comfortable for an 8-piece band?
Square footage, a 20 by 40, something like that. 20 by 30 will work. But the bigger stages work great for that big of a band.
Do you bring your own sound people with you, or is the venues, majority of venues provide?
I used to keep a sound guy with me, even for the small gigs, but gotten where the venues that we play that need a big band have usually just killer sound people, so we don't ever do that anymore.
Gotcha.
We opened for Skinner in 2014 at Magic Springs, and we did take our sound guy with us for that show.
When you open for a national act, what does that have an immediate effect on your fan base and followers? Mm-hmm. You tend to get a lot more
notoriety.
Yeah, it seems like you do, and it seems, you know, you certainly sell more CDs at a show like that or right after a show like that. You know, people all want to get a piece of it and everything. So I think it does have some immediate effect. I don't know if it has any real long-term effect other than just looks good on your sheet, you know, and gives you that PhD that you open for somebody big.
Sure. Now, do you keep in touch with the bands that you've opened for? Are they calling you and saying, hey, what's going on? How are you guys doing? When's your next record coming out? Or you have that kind of conversation?
You'd love to, but it doesn't happen very often. I did get to, you know, I'm one of 100 people that Skinnerd follows on Twitter, so that's pretty cool that they do follow me, and that they just started another page and hit me up and said, hey, we love you, you know, you want to follow this one too. So, you know, with them, I've got a little bit of a following, and then Ricky Medlock, the guitarist, is doing his own stuff too with Blackfoot and some other things. So, you know, I've kind of followed him on Instagram, and we chat and like each other's posts and stuff. So sometimes not, you know, opened for B.B. King in 2005 and didn't even get to meet him. I mean, it was just, and I had really hoped that I would get to, but I didn't.
Yeah, I was gonna ask that. If you, a lot of times, you know, when you get these kind of gigs, is it your people talking to their people? And sometimes it's a little let down. You don't get to meet the folks, and but you get to play and open for them and get some notoriety. So I would imagine.
Yeah,
you my next question. So you actually answered it for, you know, prior. That was great. Let's see. You have, you've opened for all these people. You're always in the background. Bring Desire, be a singer and frontman. Inspired by all these, your inspirations, Elvis, Johnny Cash, Molly Hatchet. Wow, it's a wide variety.
Yeah, it really is.
Absolutely, that's great. You're kind of mixing genres. How about original stuff? You do your own original stuff as well?
Yeah, I've got a CD out. It's called Steve Hester and Deja Voodoo. It's got all original songs on it. It's got 9 originals, and I've got about 15 that I'm working on possibly getting another album out in the next couple of years. So I do have original tunes.
And then how do you, so now when you're out on the road, what region are you covering? You're covering around Arkansas and parts of Texas as well, or?
Yeah, Arkansas, Texas, Missouri, and I have gone, you know, well, I've gone as far as L.A. and Florida, but, you know, those are just road trips. But it's mainly Arkansas and Texas and Missouri, places that are pretty close, you know, 3 to 4 hours away.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself working with one person that does your booking, or do you have a variety of people that are calling you and say, okay, we have these shows over here. We see you're going to be, you know, in Western Arkansas, you know, would you like to play at this show on this date? Do they kind of help you with the route, you know, when you're doing your schedule? You have like a,
I do. Network. And, you know, I've got a girl in New Jersey who books, Chris Duarte and some other people. And, you know, if she finds out we're going on some kind of a road trip, she'll give me some names, people to call and stuff. So, you know, it's just a collaboration. It's calling people up. And then, you know, I used to book a lot of shows here in Little Rock too. So I have some agents that I can call that used to call me to try to book stuff into Little Rock. So, you know, it takes everybody to make it work for sure.
You know, people just think you get up there and play music, but this is really a business. It takes a lot of coordination and a lot of effort to keep everything going behind the scenes.
It really does. Yep. And I was just talking about that to a guy today, and he was like, you know, how do you do all this? I mean, how do you make all this work? I said, well, number one, you have to be interactive. You got to get on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, everything that happens, you want to blow it up and let people know about it, talk about it, send the link so they can go hear it. You know, it's just it's a challenge. It's, you know, I played music back in the late 70s and early 80s, and I was on the road for about 2 years just doing nothing but playing the bar scene, and really made more money then than I do now at it, sad as that is.
That's the basic story from the majority of musicians that you talk about. You know, that back then, how was the band advertised back then? I guess would Would you have people doing flyers, you know, in the towns?
You know, back then, I just had an agent. I had an agent up in Illinois, and I mean, he just booked us every week, and he just called, so you're going to be here this week, you're going to be there next week, and his name was Howie Bow, and I don't know if you ever heard of Howie or not. He had a booking agency called the Band Organization, and he was just really aggressive. And I mean, he knew everybody all over the country. You might be in Grand Island, Nebraska today, and in Olean, New York, you know, the following Monday. But you know, he did keep you very busy.
Wow, yeah. You know, today a lot of these musicians, these young artists, get discovered on YouTube. So the things have changed so drastically from the 70s with technology. When people ask me, I was around in the 60s and the 70s as growing up as a youngster, and people ask, well, you miss back being before the internet? And you know, in certain ways you could say, yeah, you do, but you know, get your money out of the bank was kind of hard. But
and if you got a paycheck on Friday somewhere and had to be 500 miles away on Monday, sometimes it's rough getting your money where it needed to be, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot better today, but life is just a lot different than it was then. How about you were around during the days of the 45? So what was your interactions with the 45s?
Oh, I didn't really have any. The 45 records, that's what we listened. That's what we bought. I mean, you know,
exactly.
Of course, you know, and then when I became a teenager, you know, in 77, I graduated high school. I'll just go ahead and tell my age here. But, you know, mm-hmm. I was an LP guy then. I was cool because I listened to the LP and picked out those obscure songs, you know, and learned those instead of the 45s. So that was
the 45s were a different
era.
Yeah, the 45s were the hit side of the album, and then side B they'd have the crummier songs, but they wanted to
exactly. Yeah.
But like today, I think the download is kind of like a 45 almost.
Exactly. Yeah, I think you're correct.
Tell us about some of the places you have coming up where you're going to be playing, some festivals or you know, some clubs, and where people can see you. In the band.
Well, I'm kind of in a little bit of a lull right now. We're booking some stuff, but we'll be playing in September at a place called the Fox and Hound in North Little Rock, Arkansas. We play there about every 2 months because you don't want to burn a place out. And then I'm actually getting ready to release a song on Bongo Boy Records. It's called Waterside. It's a gospel blues type song, and they're going to release it on their Gospel Blues 2 album. So I'm excited about that.
You work with Monique Grime?
That is exactly who I'm working with on that.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
She's the best. She's the absolute best. I know. Yep. I know Monique, and I know her work, and she's just fabulous. Every band should use her.
We met on LinkedIn of all places. So
It's a good place to meet. That's
it is. I think it's definitely an up and coming professional network.
Yeah, she has she's on a lot of cable channels too, so she has a lot of good exposure.
That's great. I mean, we just hooked up last week, so you know, and she was looking for a gospel blues song, and I said, "I've got one I think you might like." And I mean, immediately they're like, "Yeah, let's get it on here." So.
What is the Deja Voodoo 101 return? What is that?
You know, that was just.
Can I say that right?
You know, my band used to be called Steve Hester and Deja Voodoo because I had to, you know, I did a lot of blues and, you know, some soft jazz stuff, and it was kind of had a New Orleans feel to it. So I'm like, well, let's kick that name out there. But now it's just the Steve Hester Band. So I think what you're talking about is on Twitter where if you friend me, it has to go through the Steve Hester and Deja. I don't even remember what that is, but I know it sends me a message saying that somebody sent me a friend request. So that's all that is.
It's on the homepage. There's a Steve Hester and the Deja Voodoo 101 return from #, Sundance with special thanks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. That's on the Twitter. I mean, on my homepage is okay.
Yeah, it looks like I did come from Twitter.
Yeah, that was the band. That was my original band. It was called Steve Hester and Deja Voodoo. So. We kind of lost that in the last couple of years, basically because I've, you know, I've started doing a lot of Christian and gospel music, and, you know, the Deja Voodoo and the Skulls and all that didn't really go very well with it.
And do you classify your band as, I see here it says, looks like a post here on Facebook, it says number 2 Little Rock, number 73 National, and number 83 World charts on Reverb Country. So you're on Reverb, you're doing some country.
I would say outlaw country is what I would call us instead of just standard country. I mean, because they embrace blues and southern rock and, you know, old style country. So, you know, we do, I have kind of crossed over into that country realm, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have a wide genre here, which is neat. You're going from different genre. Keeps the fans on their toes and keeps them entertained.
It does, yeah.
Moving around, which they people like. They like change up even.
And it's funny because you'll inevitably get somebody show up at one of your shows asking if you can do a song that's obscure by in any of your genres. And a lot of times we're able to pull that off and go, yeah, we can do that one. Or at least something by that artist for you.
Let me ask you about your, you're working in a studio on some new tracks or original tracks?
Still getting them put together. We're not in the studio yet, but I have already talked to the engineer that did the last one, and he's ready to get us in there. Just got to get them finished and got to get all the changes and, you know, the breaks and the logistics put together on them. But, yeah, I've got the songs ready or close to ready.
Do you do a lot of the recording before you get it to the studio, and then you let the studio do the mastering? You give them.
Yeah, actually, we just what we've been doing is just going into to Barry's studio and just letting him do the whole deal. I mean, we just, you know, we'll put the whole track together and usually be able to use at least the rhythm part of the track and then just start working on it from there.
Sometimes that works out to be the best. This way you can do the music and you can have the engineers take care of putting it together for you. And
because you don't lose that live feel that way.
Exactly. Did you ever when you play live, do you record the gigs?
I haven't recorded any yet, but it's something I'm planning on trying to start probably because there's been some times that we just do something really cool happens. We're going, man, we should have been recording that.
I think the neat thing to record also is the ambient sound. So you can, I guess the best part of a live show is where you hear the audience.
Exactly. Yeah.
Clapping and really getting involved. I guess that's kind of what you're looking for when you're recording a live show, right? You kind of gauge how you did.
And I did do a live album a couple of years ago that it turned out pretty good. I mean, it didn't have the sound quality that a studio recording does, but a guy brought it. He had a portable studio and a U-Haul truck that he brought out and recorded us about 4 different shows, and we mixed it all up, and it turned out pretty decent.
How did you meet the current band members that you're playing with now? Is that something you met through studio play or through open mics or
open mic nights? Basically, yep. Met almost all of them at blues jams. Believe it or not.
I gotta tell you, the jam and the open mic lines are one of the most popular URLs that we have. You know, we basically talk to people that run open mics and open jams and talk to artists that play there, and it gets a lot of listening too. This is a very popular way to get listeners, and people are very interested in that subject. It's a great incubator. Based upon what you just told us, meeting your band members, you met them all there. Basically, is that what you said?
And
right?
Met some great backup guys too. That if something happens and one of your guys can't make it, there's a lot of backup guys there that you can call and, hey, I've got a gig coming, but my guitarist can't be there. Can you do it? And you got 4 or 5 people to fall back on. Then,
are you participating in open jams now? In blues jams now?
I haven't in a few months, but I've been talking about going back to one at Thurston Howell in Little Rock. It's a really good one. It's, you know, it's where I met a lot of musicians.
Have you ever hosted one of these things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to host that one every once in a while. And as a matter of fact, I just got a Hot Springs. It's not too far from here. And I just got an invitation to host one of those in September. So I have.
The artists that go to these jams, do they introduce their own music a lot of times? Or what would you say the percentage of their originals to them playing covers is in it?
You know, I'd say probably 25% to 30% originals, probably.
Now, you know, I listen to a lot of music from local artists, and you know, they're not national bands, and they're not extremely famous. They may not be famous at all, but their music and their talents are fantastic. And I asked a question, I asked this of band folks, people that play in bands and people that I interview, and some I've become very, you know, close friends with that critique my show, and we hang out every once in a while. And I said, how come this person wasn't discovered? I'm listening to this music, and the music is so fantastic. You've got to pull over while you're driving because you're like in awe. And they say, and the answer comes back, discovered by who? I had to think about that for a while. What is your answer to that? Discovered by who? What do you
know, I think my answer is, you know, I think everybody's looking for that record deal, but I just don't think they exist anymore. I mean, they exist for the young, pretty country or pop artist, but basically I think to get discovered, you got to spend a lot of money to get there. I mean, you know, I have a lot of friends that are in the music industry and in the playing of music on the iHeart channels and such. And, you know, they're just telling me, if you don't have a record deal, we're not going to play you, period. Doesn't matter how good you are, how much we love it. Those days of you just going and beating the doors down at the radio station and getting somebody to play your song, just gone. I mean, it just doesn't exist anymore. So I guess the bottom line is, if you don't know somebody who knows somebody, man, the odds of getting discovered are just not very good.
The way, from what I understand, what I'm told, that I'm no expert on this knowledge, but I was told that back in the day, artists, record companies used to pay radio stations to play music on their label. You've heard of that, I would imagine, right?
I don't think it's just in the old days. I think they still do it.
That's interesting to me. Don't the radio stations that play national artists and play music have to pay a royalty to ASCAP and BMI and so on?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, so they're charging and paying all at the same time.
Exactly.
That's very interesting.
Figure that one out.
Okay.
But it's a weird, you know,
it's a complicated business.
Yeah, it's basically the guys that have the record labels run the music industry as far as the mainstream music industry. I mean, that's just what it comes down to.
Now, they have trimmed back quite a bit, these record labels, right? There's a lot fewer of them now, even some of the larger ones.
A lot fewer of them and a lot more of the indie labels out there, for sure.
And the indie label, independent artists, and aren't most undiscovered artists, would they be considered as independent? I guess
I think so. I mean, to me, that's what I would call it. Yeah.
Okay. How have you, were you able to hook up with a record label, and did you find the people that you like to deal with? Or did you create your own?
Honestly, I have not. I just created my own label. I created Swamp Stomp Records and just, you know, became my own label. And that, you know, I've got a few, I'm getting some record play out of it. So
I think you're better off that way.
I think you can control
the music. You still own the copyright to all of the mechanical rights. I think that's the way to go. Now, 25 years ago, that was not that easy to do, right?
No, because they had it all sewed up. I mean, if you weren't on a major label, you just weren't going to get any attention at all.
Gotcha. So let me ask you, is it it's better in some ways, and is it better in some ways now that has been loosened up, because there's so many, it's so much easier to you know, you can make your own label, you can actually record your own music today with all these electronics, and then the studio costs have come down tremendously, I would imagine, right? But so is the pay. I mean, that has,
yeah, yeah, it's all, I mean, it's basically, you know, it's a hard thing to call it, but it's Walmart for music, basically. I mean, that's,
yeah,
what, you know, that's what we're dealing with, is the consumer. You know, you can buy an album for $6 on the Amazon or iHeart or anything. So, you know, and, you know, that's just, and then the artist is going to get about 70% of that.
What do you think of the resurgence of vinyl? Do you see?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, of course, I'm from the 70s, so I get it.
Can you tell the difference between an analog record and a digital record? Do you think there's a big difference in the old records versus the new ones that they're pressing?
I think so. Yeah, I think the digital has got a lot cleaner sound to it, for sure.
Uh-huh. I'm looking at your page, on your web page here. Why don't you tell the folks how they can get in touch with you, where they can view where you're going to be playing, about your band, and about some of the things that you're passionate about. If you have some web calendars or web pages for people to get you on, or your Twitter. So why don't you go ahead and fire away with that information?
Certainly, you can find me. Number one, just Google Steve Hester Music, and you'll find me. I'm Steve Hester Music on Facebook, Steve Hester Music 101 on Twitter, Steve Hester Blues on Instagram, and Steve Hester Music on Reverb Nation. Trying to remember what all others. So there's a host of them out there, and you can also buy my music on Apple and on several different, but if you just, you can find all of them on Google. If you look it up, it'll tell you where to go buy my tunes. But Apple, number one, you can buy it on Apple for sure.
That's great. So Steve, thank you for being with us. What I'd like to do is, you know, I've been doing this since 2015, and I took a little sabbatical for about a year and 6 months, and then came back to start it up again. So what I'm doing now is I'm interviewing artists I haven't interviewed in the past, but I also do follow-ups. So, you know, maybe 6 or 7 months we can have another follow-up with you to see if you got any new releases or any new news about the band, or if you, you know, if you have breaking news about, you know, a big signing or anything that you're going on a big tour, let us know, and we'll bring you back
cool.
on the air.
Sounds great, Al.
All right, so thank you.
Thanks
for being with
me.
Us. If we missed anything, now, you know, let us know about, if I didn't ask you anything about a place you might be playing. So if you have any information that we didn't,
Hey, just go become a fan and it'll all be on there. I promise. I'm going to let you know if I'm going to be playing somewhere close.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you, Steve. All right, everybody.
Thank you.
We just had a great interview here with, Steve Hester and Steve Hester Band. Go and check out his website, stevehesterblues.com, or just go on Google and Google Steve Hester, and a lot of stuff will come up. And then you can check him out. Go on Facebook, put in Steve Hester. You'll see that. Well, anyway, that's another great interview, Dan. This will be on the archives tomorrow morning. And we'll be back. Let's see, what's the schedule look like here? I read the schedule a lot, but I just forget, so I like to read it to keep me posted on what's going on. Hey, on the 19th, that's this Saturday night at 9 p.m. I'm going to fix the schedule now. I know it says 8 p.m., but it's 9 p.m. from Twangstock with my pal Marbles Mahoney and a bunch of buddies. They're going to have a lot of bands there. This is like the 10th or 11th annual Twangstock, and it got so big that Marbles can't have it in his big backyard anymore. He's got to bring it over to
got a, on, in a venue. We'll tell you the venue's name. I don't know offhand right now what it is, but it's going to be a big deal. There's bands from all over the United States, all over Long Island, all over New York, and some bands from Europe, coming from Europe. And that's on the 19th. That's next Saturday, 9 p.m. So the schedule will reflect that. Let's see. We have the 21st, our normal Monday night show, Bruce Barbini at 8 p.m. And at 9 p.m., we have Joseph Fram. This is on the 21st. And the Framework Acoustic Jazz Ensemble. That's who will be with us on the Monday, the 21st. And on the 24th, Val Fink's going to be over at Chickie and Pete's, Roosevelt Boulevard, Philly, 8 p.m. with Acoustic Martin and Company, a few other bands. They're going to have they're going to be introducing some young talent. Acoustic Martin and Company is going to be playing as well. I'm going to be there trying to do a live show from there, at least recording. But we'll try to get a live feed going for you, and who knows what will happen then. Following week, on the 28th, 8 p.m., Rock Goddess is coming back to talk to us about her new show on a different station. We love other stations. We love internet radio. We don't look at other stations as competitors. We look at other stations as colleagues. But they really are colleagues. Then we're going to try something. I'm hoping this turns into a regular, maybe monthly show with Tony D from the Music Room. So Tony D is going to be on with us on 8:28 at 9 p.m. And he's going to tell us about Tony D's Music Room. Tony posts on Facebook in the Tony D's Music Room nostalgia about music artists when they've had their big days in the sun, you know, when they have brought out music, when they appeared for the first time, or when they released a song. It's really, really great nostalgia, really great trivia. So check it out. Tony D will be with us 9 p.m. on 8:28, 2 weeks from tonight. On the 4th, we have Turquoise Rose, a Texas artist that has had a long history in music, from singing and entertaining to helping organize other bands and promote them as well. And that night, we're also going to have an open call-in Monday. Have a live shootout where anybody could call and talk about music on Main Street, live music on Main Street. By the way, you can do that anytime you want. If you want to call in now, the number is 917-889-9970. So call in and we can talk about live music on your Main Street. We have a little bit of time left in the show. I'll go up until 10 o'clock if you want to participate in talking about your music. If not, we'll cut it off a little early. But anyhow, or we could play a neat archive. Now you can go to bnclive.com. And if you want to listen to the show archives, there's about 90 of them up there. There's a link. Oh, excuse me. There's a link that says listen to show archives. Well, how quaint. Just click on that, and it'll take you right to the Mixcloud page, and I think there's 91 of them on there. We still have about another 200 to put on there, 150, maybe 200. I think I've done about 300-plus shows, and it's just taking forever to get them all, you know, all listened to and lined up and converted so we can put them on AAC. But anyway, we're working on that, and there'll be more up there throughout the week. This show will be up there tomorrow. So check out our Twitter pages. If you notice on the left side of the BNC Live page or the Live Music on Main Street page, you'll see on the left-hand side the Twitter accounts that we're currently posting to and the ones that we are involved with. There's quite a few of them. I think there's about 20 or 25 of them. There's a few more that we have not been working on, but we're going to get them livened up again. They still have followers. So we're growing the Twitter feeds. And you can also listen to some of the open mic recordings that we did. There's a live feed, or there's a feed that goes on of the that loops
It was about 13 or 14 hours of archives, and that grows every week by a few hours. So once we're done putting everything up there, you could probably go a week or two without hearing the same show on the loop on the archive. So if you wanted to listen to that stuff, you could. That's also, the stream usually starts playing once you log on to one of our pages, bnclive.com. If you're logging on from a smartphone, you're going to get a little different view. It's going to be a smartphone-friendly screen, so it'll look quite a bit different than if you're logging on from a computer. All right, so I think we're going to call it a wrap. We'll be back again on Saturday with Marbles Mahoney from Twang Stock. Hey, this is Al from BNC Live. Oh, by the way, on the 11th, on 9/11 at 8 p.m., we have Jason Colombini, and we still have an open show for 9 p.m. And on the 18th of September, we have the Detonators stopping by. That's a band from the New York State area. I believe they're from New York or Westchester, from that area. I think that's part of their region they cover. And we have some open dates after that. 9 p.m. as well on the 18th is open. So send us an email, thinkbnclive.com, if you want to come on the show, want to be interviewed. Hey, if you have anything to do with the music business, we'll get you on this show. If you have anything to do with business at all and you want to talk about your business, Al Fink also interviews business entrepreneurs and business people. And anybody that has a story to tell about their career, that's what Al Fink does. Al Fink talks about all kinds of things. So come on with Al Fink, get on here, and we'll get your story told. If you need your story told, tell it with Al Fink. All right, we're going to give it a wrap here. It's Al Fink, bnclive.com. Get out and see some live music. Don't drink and drive. Have a good time. Be careful. And see you Saturday. Al Fink out.